So the thing that I wanted to chat to you about today, or at least the questions that I wanted to ask you, and this kind of, so you remember the last time we spoke, we chatted about this whole plug-in business of mine and possibly looking at reinvigorating that, and you gave me some advice and all that kind of thing. And I've spent the last sort of week and a half thinking about that. And I've realized that I don't want to go back to that. And there's two reasons behind it. Number one, I definitely want to look at the recurring revenue income system.
Yeah.
Because being in this paid for once off thing in the space that I'm in with those plugins is not sustainable long term.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, because of all the history behind what happened, I think I mentioned it the last time we spoke about, you know, the, I don't know how the best way to describe it, but there are some folks within the Divi community who hate me because of what happened.
Totally. Yeah.
And I'm the kind of person that takes that very much to heart and I can't put it away. And I mean, I'm sure you've seen that when I'm dealing with support queries. I take negative reviews very seriously.
Yeah.
So I feel like I need to, excuse me, I need to take a break from that and focus on something either WordPress focused or something else, but definitely something that's not specific to the Divi community or the Divi niche, purely because of that history. And I think that if I look at it from a fresh start, I might be more, because I really tried over the last 2 weeks. I've implemented a support system for support queries, and I've been doing some work on updating some of the plugins so that I can start talking about it, but there's just no desire to do it. So I think that the desire to do it was killed by what happened. And I think that's part of the reason why I didn't get back to it.
Right. Right. I'll tell you, I mean, I think that's really smart, because I mean, we're seeing just honestly in the last 6 weeks probably, and it's taking a long time. By the way, I think we're coming up on our anniversary of launching, Castos or Serious Simple Hosting. I know it was early May, so we'll have to look at it.
We should throw a party.
Yeah, we should. No, we definitely should. It just in the last less than 2 months has started really getting easy. And I think you can probably feel it too on the dev side. I mean, just massive life-killing bugs don't really exist anymore. Support is getting understandable, at least, even though there's still a lot of it. And it's only because as we grow, getting more customers is easier, right? Not harder. And I think, like, yeah, you talk to anybody that like sells info products or whatever, like one, your market will become saturated. And you can't keep selling the same thing to the same people. But with recurring revenue, once you get that one customer, they keep paying you every month, even if it's just a little bit of money. So I think it's very savvy. Yeah.
Cool. So that leads me on to the purpose of this chat today is, I don't want to just give those plugins away to somebody. I want to look at maybe selling them.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to chat to you about the process of you've kind of been through the process of acquiring two separate businesses. One was Seriously Simple Podcasting. One was, I think it's Sales Camp. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you have some idea from the buyer perspective what it's like to buy something like this. I have some minor experience in selling a more real world business. So when my wife and I took over the property data business from my father-in-law, it wasn't sold to us, but there was a process of working out, you know, what is it worth and some kind of, you know, payment system and whatever the case may be. So I guess the first question that I'm going to start off with is, how do you value something that is not you've had great experience, I believe, because you've almost had to value a free plugin, and you've also had to value a system that was developed but had no customers.
Right.
So I'm in a situation where I have some plugins, I have some customers, there is room for growth, there is room for future sales. So how does one calculate, you know, what something like that is worth?
It's typically, depending on the person buying it, and what their position and motivation is, it can be kind of two different things. But typically, like for what you would say, like is a cash flow investor, like somebody who just wants to buy it to make money, they will buy it for on a one-time sale like that, like 2.5 to 3.5 times annual profit. And that includes what you pay yourself. So they call it seller discretionary earning. So that's basically what you take out of the business and whatever profit there is after that.
Okay.
A cash flow investor would typically buy based on revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what a good multiple is there, but I know it's a lot more than like 2.5 or 3 times.
Right.
And it's on revenue, not profit.
Okay.
So I think you would expect to sell to a strategic acquirer for probably double what you would to a cash flow kind of investor.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's good to know. I mean, I don't think I'm looking for a cash flow investor. I think I'm definitely going to be looking for somebody to take it over.
Yeah. How much money does it make right now?
So that's a good question. I'm actually
revenue or whatever.
As we speak, I'm busy logging in to get that amount. It's not a lot. It's a few hundred. So as an example, this is another thing. I don't really keep track of these kind of things. So I'm the worst plug-in business owner in the world. and that's part of the reason why I think it's time to move on, because there's just no desire from my side to really do something with it.
Yeah.
Okay. So last month, it made $126.
Okay.
The previous month, it made $200. And the month before that, let's have a look here. It was between 200 and 250. It wasn't a lot more. Yeah. So at the moment it ranges between $150 to $250.
Uh-huh.
$250. And that's purely based on, you know, me doing nothing.
Yeah. Then yeah, man, I would just find somebody that would be a good fit. They have other Divi plugins, or they have a Divi theme and they want to get plugins to add to it. And just, yeah, do some outreach and say, hey, you know, this is what I'm doing. You know, I'm kind of looking to move on to some other things. Would you be interested in taking this over? And I mean, there's a million different ways you can do it from there. You know, you can, if they have the money, you can just sell it to them and get all the money at once. If they don't have the money, you could do like an earnout thing. Sounds like you might have done with your property management business, which is tough because like, you don't really know if you'll get the money, especially like, you know, the guy lives wherever, not in South Africa where laws don't really apply, you know, where like, I mean, you know what I mean? Like you're not going to sue someone internationally for whatever, $5,000 or whatever this
right,
would be.
Right, you know? Right.
So, yeah, but you know, enough people in the WordPress community, you know, so how I came across Seriously Simple Podcasting was Hugh sent out a message to, I think just some of his friends, not even like his quote newsletter or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And Brad Tunard was one of the guys that he reached out to. And Brad was a customer of ours at Podcast Motor because we did Apply Filters, their podcast.
Okay.
And he sent me a message. He was like, hey, you know, you should look at this. So, I mean, it's all just like everything. It's like word of mouth, you know?
Absolutely. Well, that's where I am lucky in the sense that, I mean, the first person that I would probably speak to is one of the owners of the marketplace where I sell the plugins, because he was instrumental in helping me get set up. And he's actually friends with one of the bigger plugin sellers.
Mm.
So that'll probably be my first port of call to say, look, I've got this. I've reached a point where I need to move on. I would like somebody who I trust to take it over. Do you think he would be interested, or would you be interested? Because he's got his own developers that could literally take it over.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to kind of get an idea of how does one, you know, calculate that figure.
Yep.
If, do you know, and this is really just me being lazy and not doing the research myself, but do you know if there are any services that you can use in terms of payment, you know, sort of escrow or anything like that? If it is somebody who I don't know,
yeah,
that could manage something like that.
Yeah. So escrow.com is
that,
something,
that easy.
Something I've used in the past, and it's fine. It's sort of expensive. You know, it would be, I don't know, a couple $100s.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on how well you know this guy, you may or may not want it. It's both for Serious Assemble Podcasting and for Sales Camp, I just sent the guy PayPal.
Okay.
And you want to, like, you want to set it up. And it's different with a plugin, or, I guess, but like, you want to send them like part of the information, and then they send you the money, and then you send them the rest of the stuff. So like, okay. For us, it was like, send over the plugin files or access to the website or something like that, but not, send the domain over. Cause that's like ultimately right. The thing you want is right. The domain. That should be like the last thing. You don't have a domain for your plugins though, right?
Yeah, I do. It's atlanticwave.co. But funny enough, I don't think the domain is worth much more because I don't do a lot on it. So, but I hear what you're saying.
But whatever that version is, you know, is say like, you know, you have several things to do. The buyer only has one, you know? So like, you know, maybe your account access in the marketplace, send that to him first. And then the plugin code after he pays you or something like that. I don't know.
Right. I'm with you. Okay. I did not. That's a good tip. I didn't think of that. And then the last question I have around that is kind of more towards, well, where do we go to from here? So let's say that all goes well. I sell this. I almost want to tell you what I'm doing wrong in this question, but. So you and Dave recently had a podcast where you spoke about a system that would do some checks on, you know, plugins before they get submitted to the repository. And there's a business idea. And I don't know if you noticed, but I actually commented on that saying that, well, WordPress has got this Tide thing coming up. I feel like I almost tend to hamstring myself when I see ideas. I first go looking for a current solution, or I know about a current solution. And then when that solution exists, I almost give up and move on.
Yeah.
So the question that I have is more about, you know, you said this in the last podcast, you know, having an idea is the easy, but the worst part about it, you know, physically doing something about it is where the problem always comes in. Once I've figured out the sale, and I'm going to start the discussions probably on it next week. Once I figure that out and that's out of the way, I want to figure out this is very developer of me, but I want to figure out a process that I should be following to really kind of look at things that are coming my way and isolate the ones that either A, I think are a good marketing idea, or B, sorry, a good product idea, or B, are actually things that I will pick up and run with. So do you have any tips around sort of how to almost reprogram your brain to either make a point of picking up on these things or thinking better about the ideas and having a better understanding of which ones would make sense to get into? Because this is kind of the reason I'm asking this is because the Divi plugin thing was very much not driven by me. It just kind of happened. And I think that's part of the reason why I've gotten to this point now. I didn't really think about it. I didn't put any, you know, thought into where it's going. It just all sort of happened. And I want to put a little bit more homework in on my side first before I start the next thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's, okay, so what I would say for you specifically is you kind of know the WordPress space and involved in the developer side of WordPress a lot. A couple things. One, I think everyone will say that building tools for developers is really tough because, like yourself, you'd say, "Oh, I can do this better, right? I can just go make my own plugin checker thing and do it better, and not have to pay this guy $15 a month or whatever." So I think that like. Selling to developers generally is regarded as a difficult thing because you are able to build the thing that you're buying, right? So that's and you don't always, value your time versus just buying it off the shelf, right?
No, absolutely.
As opposed to like myself, I have to pay you every time we want to build something. So I'm more conscious of like buying something that's already done versus us building it. But I would say like, in that vein, if that's the way you want to go, I would look at something like Brad's Migrate DB Pro as like a really complicated, difficult problem that happens a lot in WordPress and nobody wants to deal with it, right? So like a solution is really, really valuable. And I think this plugin thing that Dave and I talked about is kind of similar. And you might even get some, like, not developers, but like heavy WordPress users to purchase this thing, where like you can say, we will check all theme and plugin updates on your site, so your site never breaks from a bad plugin update. Mm. That's really valuable to like agencies and developers who are managing people's WordPress sites, but also like myself, who is kind of knowledgeable in WordPress and knows that that can happen, or it's happened to me before, whatever, you know?
Right, right.
So yeah, I think, I mean, I understand WordPress is coming out with some of this kind of stuff. I don't know if it will completely solve the problem or not. Maybe that's something to look at, but that's how I think about it, is like, not an idea, but a problem of like, this thing in WordPress is difficult or sucks or isn't solved by core or is solved by another tool that's horrible and you could do it better. Mm. You know what I mean?
Right. I hear you. So this kind of, this actually leads on to my next question quite well, because the way I see it, when I sell my plugin business for whatever the amount of money is that I sell it for, I'm going to have a chunk of money that I can do something with. Now, my initial idea was, well, that amount of money is roughly, let's say it's, you know, roughly 2 months worth of client work. Well, then that means I could literally not work for clients for 2 months and build this next thing of mine. And that kind of works for me. But then I also realized that, I'm glad you mentioned this, because part of the problem, I think, is that I am a developer. So every problem that I encounter, I can fix. I mean, I give you a very silly example. When I started working with WordPress, I could never find a, you know, as we in Laravel, there's the Homestead environment that we use for development, and it just works brilliantly. Yeah. I could never find a development environment for WordPress that suited my specific needs. So I went and built one. And I never intended it to be something that I ever sold. I intended it to be an open source project. I intended people to use it. But the point that I'm making is that's the kind of person I am. If I hit a snag, I'll generally go and build it.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if with that money that I make from the sale, it wouldn't make more sense for, and the purpose of this podcast is really to speak to people like me who are developers who want to start their own thing. And that's why I'm glad we're focusing on these very specifically developer problems when it comes to building your own business. Do you think it might be a better idea for me to take that money and look at buying something that already exists, like you had with SalesCamp, where it existed, but it didn't have clients and the person didn't have the experience in getting clients? Because then what it does is it forces me to focus on learning the marketing side and learning the sales side, as opposed to spending 2 months building and then after right. those 2 months going, well, I don't know how to market this and I'm going to sell it.
Yeah. I mean, I think the best is if you can find, if they've gotten like that one extra step and they have some customers or they have
okay.
some audience or something, because like, honestly, SalesCamp has been challenging because there was no marketing. There was no traffic. I mean, none, almost, you know, almost no traffic to the website. And the product needed a fair amount of work. Right. So, I mean, like, we're changing the product. So it's really, really different now than it was before. But, I would say generally yes, but don't necessarily think that just because you can buy whatever for like $5,000, one, it's going to be good, because you can appreciate probably that like doing all the work to build a SaaS app and then sell it for $5,000 is not something a lot of people would do. Right.
Right. Right.
Because that's a fair amount of the hard part. Or the time consuming part, I should say, but the real challenge, like you're saying, is marketing and finding customers and stuff. So like, if you could buy something, that would be good, because I'll say for SalesCamp, the nice thing is it's forced me to focus on this market in this industry and customers that have this problem. Mm. Otherwise I'd be still searching for what the hell I'm going to do. Right. Mm. So like I made the investment to focus on this niche and I bought, you know, was pretty good code, and we've spent money on it since then, but we still have very little marketing flow into the business, you know? So like, even if you buy a mostly done app, you will have to do work on it and you'll have to do all the marketing work. But right. but it would save you the time. And that's really what you do when you buy the product, like how I bought SalesCamp, is like you just buy the time that it would take you to develop it. So I would say those opportunities are pretty pretty rare, okay. you know, to be able to buy a decent app, you know, for for a small amount of money in a market that has potential.
Right. So maybe then a better option would be to look at something that, you know, let's say, for example, it's 2 months worth of time to then say, well, I'm going to build something for a month and then try and market it for a month in that time to mark, sort of push it and market it as much as I can in that second month, as opposed to trying to buy something. And then, because I know that if I buy something with that amount of money, then I suddenly will have to go back to working for clients and I won't have necessarily yeah. all the time in the world.
Yeah.
Do you think that it's possible to put enough marketing effort into, say, a month's worth of time? I mean, obviously my time is, you know, the time that I'm talking about is the time that I'm not working for, you know, Seriously Simple Podcast and Castos, but any of the client work.
Yeah.
But do you think that sounds feasible, that, you know, a month would be enough to sort of get an initial kick going?
No, no, I mean,
fair enough.
Well, it's never like it's never done. Right?
I don't mean, I don't mean a month and then I stop, but I mean a month where I'm spending more time than I would going forward.
Yeah. I would say if you're going to go that route, do both, like spend okay. half of your time marketing and half of your time building.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, there's a podcast that I follow and both the guys at this point have brand new apps. They're not even done yet. And they're doing what I think is a ton of marketing. It's called The Art of Product. Uh-huh. It's fantastic. One of the guys, Derek, was the co-founder of Drip, the email marketing tool we use.
Okay.
And he's a really like kind of full stack product guy. He's like a Rails developer and does a lot of other stuff right now, and a really good marketer and a designer, all this kind of stuff. So like similar to you, he could build the whole thing and he can market it. But you see that he's like, if you go back 7 or so episodes, he's doing a lot of marketing around this new thing he's doing. Mm. And I think especially like if it's in an industry that you're known already, like if you decide to do something in WordPress, it would be easy for you to talk about whatever thing you're doing naturally, you know, and not seem like you're whatever bragging or anything like that. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
Interesting. Yeah. So I would say talk about what you're doing as you're building it, because mm-hmm. after you get done building it, it could be that like you haven't built the right thing, you know, like if you haven't talked to customers and haven't tried to sell people on the idea of what you're doing, it could be that you built the wrong thing.
Okay.
And then you've wasted a bunch of time.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's the nice thing about making this decision to sell it is now I can start talking to people about the next thing while I'm going through the process of trying to sell.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. Okay. I think that's everything I have to ask you today. I don't know if you have anything you want to add to what we've discussed.
No, I mean, I think you're thinking on the right kind of path. I mean, recurring revenue is really powerful for a business. And like one of my buddies says, he wouldn't build something today that didn't have recurring revenue. I think he feels that strongly about it. And I mean, we've definitely seen it with Castos at this point, that it makes running the business easier over time almost.
Absolutely.
Or at least changes some of the problems that we have. Or areas of focus, I should say, but you euphemism. But yeah, and I would just say that, like, as opposed to finding an idea, find a problem and an audience. And I think you can probably do that pretty well in WordPress. And WordPress is a double-edged sword. It's a big-time double-edged sword where, like, you have a lot of people and honestly, like a lot of problems that people have with WordPress, just because the nature of it being kind of a distributed open source thing that a bunch of people are trying to do different things with. And there's a lot of commerce in it. So I think there's plenty of room. I mean, the downside is it is relatively sort of regulated and stuff, you know? So it's a double-edged sword, but I'll tell you, I mean, the marketing channel that we have at Castos via Seriously Simple Podcasting is amazing. So, I mean, I would almost even look at that as like talking about buying something. If you could buy a plugin and then build a premium version or SaaSify it or whatever. If I had an opportunity to do that again, I would, because it's been great for us. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Yep. Well, there's definitely some food for thought. I think by the next time we talk, I will have hopefully either sold or it being in the process of selling.
Yeah.
So I'm sure at that stage, I'll probably have lots more questions. I think if I think about the first time we chatted and that homework that I had, I think I'm definitely more keen to do the homework from today's chat than I was last week, last time.
Yeah.
So it kind of, I think it's also important for me to almost spend more time in all of these other areas, like, you know, marketing research, customer base research, and that kind of stuff, as opposed to the development, because that's the part that I know I can do. So it's mm-hmm. all the stuff that I don't know that I can do that I need to start doing. And that always excites me because it's always interesting. It's always more fun to learn something new than it is to do something you already know.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's challenging, right? I mean, it takes you out of your comfort zone and it's difficult somehow and everything. But yeah, I Absolutely. Think it's, if you can do it, it is really healthy.
Cool.
Even like finding the way to market that works best for you, you right. know?
Right, right. It's actually funny because I had a podcast with, I don't know if you know the name, Daniel Bachhuber. He's quite sort of prevalent in the WordPress space. And he actually got me onto the Indie Hackers website, which is basically a bunch of people like me who are building products and they, you know, list their products and what they're doing and how they're doing things. And I think that would tie in well with this process of, you know, publishing the idea there and getting feedback and taking it from there. So I almost feel like this has all kind of worked well together time-wise. So
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Cool. Awesome. Cool. Well, I think that's it for today. As always, thank you very much for your time.
No, my pleasure.
And we'll chat again in 2 weeks and hopefully I've sold it for large amounts of money.
Sounds good. Sounds good, man. Awesome. All right.
Thank you.
Yep. Cheers. Bye.
Cheers.